but it's down to Cologne Ranger and Jeremy's Jet. Which of these will take the lion's share of $1 million? Jeremy's Jet on the inside, dead game, captures the Metro!
The backfield is coming on, moving pictures on the far outside, reaches up for Mark McDonald to win the Breeders' Crown Open Mare Pace. It is moving pictures with a 9-1 stutter and 151.
Tying up on the end of it, trying to reach Mystical Sunshine, and it's Peaceful Way with her brilliant winning way to capture the Arm Road
Play. The Grey Gladiator, the Gladiator Gris, la paix encore une fois, une 74e victoire en carrière.
Coast to coast on the World Wide Web, this is Trot Radio on Standardbred Canada, and it is part two of an interview I am very privileged to conduct. On the other end of my line, as you probably know by now, is a man who's conquered almost everything there is to conquer in our sport, and despite all that greatness, has always kept a level head on his shoulders. In addition to winning all the accolades there is to win in the game, not that long ago, I think it was 1990 or so, was also given an order of meritorious service by the Governor General for his contributions to harness racing. John Campbell, welcome back to Trot Radio.
Thanks very much, Norm. It's a pleasure to be back again.
Now, lately, I want to focus on some of the directions you've been going in with respect to how you feel the game needs to be conducted. You've been pretty outspoken lately about what you feel the sport has to do in order to survive. Could you tell our listeners some of the issues you feel strongest about?
Well, I just think the business model we have now is not working. We're in a decline, you know, both in attendance and handle in North America. There's just no doubt about that. And I certainly don't have all the answers. I just think we need to be more open with change. I think, in my opinion, there's too many race dates throughout North America. I think we'd be better off with a consolidated race schedule, try and get more people in on those dates. And to me, the biggest way to expose more people to racing is to do our utmost to promote and advertise our big events, whether that be Legends Day at Clinton, North America Cup, Hamiltonian, Little Brown Jug. Whatever day is the biggest day at a particular race meet has to be just the main focus of the whole year. And I think we have to bring the track to the people, whether that be through streaming through cell phones or computers or local cable shows, because we're not going to get the people back to the track like we once had, but we have to expose them to our product on the big days, and at the rest of the time we have to make it as easy and as convenient for those people to not only watch but bet on the races.
Well, they could take a tip or two from the Hamiltonian Society, which has managed to get the race put on CBS, for example, or NBC, one of the big networks, for the past number of years.
Yes, but that's an expensive proposition, and it's only because it's the Hamiltonian does it get on network TV. To tell you the truth, we as an industry just cannot afford it because it's too expensive to be on there, and we don't have the sponsorship nationwide to fund that. So that's a very difficult proposition. A lot of people complain about us not being on TV, but the nuts and bolts of it is we cannot afford to pay for the airtime.
You talk about change being necessary. Now, you know, many of us in this sport like to call ourselves purists. However, you know, having one of the biggest pacing races held in the middle of a week, i.e. the Little Brown Jug, to me does not seem like a great way to spread your product to a wide audience.
Well, they're locked into Thursday in Ohio. There's just no other way about it. Saturday, if they had the Little Brown Jug, they're going against Ohio State football, and you can't imagine how big Ohio State football is.
It's huge.
In that area. It's just huge. So, you know, that they're locked into that Thursday down there right now, and I don't see that changing anywhere in the near future. But it, you know, it's certainly a concern, and you know, it's to some extent maybe a detriment, but I don't see that changing in the next few years.
You've been a proponent of changes to the whipping rule as well.
I just think the public's attitudes about abuse to animals has changed dramatically in the last 30 or 40 years, and you know, people don't like to see the drivers go to the whip, and whether they're hurting the horse or not, the perception is that we are, and I think it's something that we should address now before some other outside entity comes in and addresses it for us.
You've also said that, you know, merely whipping a horse, I mean, if it was that easy, nobody would lose a horse race. All you got to do is hit them harder.
Yeah, well, I think there's no question the whip is overused, and I've done it many times myself. You know, afterwards you just think, geez, I shouldn't have done it so much. But, you know, you're in the heat of the race, and you're hoping that they'll respond to it. But in reality, there's not many that do.
Now, you talk about how the game is presented. Now, over in Europe, you've won in a Litlop, you've won in an international trot. There's obviously a lot more race flow over there. Now, I know they go varying distances, but it seems like nobody's concerned over there about getting parked. It's just part of the deal. You got to rate your horse differently. What can we learn from the Euros and Kiwis, for example, that we might be able to take here to, you know, just to create more flow in the race? The biggest knock against harness racing by other sports writers is that it's predictable.
Well, it is totally different. They race hard out of the gate in Europe, and then they just sit. And they sit on the outside, and they're not concerned with being parked, but the middle half is extremely slow. Now, to me, a lot of their races are more boring to watch than ours, because there is no lead changes once they get set. And it's, you know, many times predictable once they go by the grandstand the first time on a 5/8-mile track over there what's going to happen. But it's just a different style. I don't think there's anything we can learn or take from it, because it's just the way the races are conducted, and it's, and we race a mile all the time, and you know, a mile in the last, you know, 7 or 8 years has become basically a sprint. So you're not going to get that middle half of the race slow like you used to in days gone by.
But wouldn't you say, though, that it's usually the final quarter or eighth that becomes the sprint, especially maybe not on mile tracks, but on half-mile tracks, where you get somebody that can really rate a horse well on the front end and just play the clock like a banjo?
Well, that does happen on the smaller tracks, there's no question. And as I said, even on a mile track, these horses can go much further, much faster than they used to be able to. And, you know, so you can use your horse a lot more. And it's really changed the strategies of the drivers. And people say, you know, the drivers have changed, which they have changed their strategy, but they only do what the horses can handle. And in any era, if you look at the drivers, they only do what works and what horses can handle. So this is, you know, the hand that drivers are dealt now, and they know horses can take a lot more air and go a lot faster for a longer period of time than they used to be able to do.
That's true. You can't argue with that. If there was one thing about our sport you'd like to change that would further its popularity or get some of it back, John Campbell, what would it be?
Well, I don't think there's one thing. That's the problem we had. If there's one thing, there have been a lot of people before me would have come up with that idea. I think we should have universal rules immediately. I would streamline the licensing process for owners, because we lose owners because of the red tape and cumbersome way that the licensing procedure goes. And from a betting standpoint, I think we have to try and come up with a more lottery type betting, where people can bet a dollar and win $70,000 or $80,000. And we saw the excitement that our pick six carryover had here at the Meadowlands this past winter, when we got up over $1 million. That's what people are looking for now. I don't know just how those pools can grow that quick, and we can offer that type of money, but that's what society is looking for is a lottery type environment, where they can bet a dollar and get a huge amount back.
Well, why not, you know, go to your gas station, buy a lotto ticket, and while you're at it, take a you know, a blind pick on a pick six. Nationwide.
Well, I think if harness racing had been politically motivated in the 60s and 70s, we could have been included in that. But now we're not, and it's very difficult to get in the door once you've been shut out.
No, that's true, but we'll keep trying, right?
I guess so. We have to.
Where does John Campbell go from here? I mean, what's left to conquer?
Well, you're always looking for that next great horse. I mean, I'd love to win another Hamiltonian, another Meadowlands Pace. And every time you're involved with a horse at that level, it's with different people, different owners, different excitement. So everything changes from year to year, and that's, you know, one thing great about our industry. And from my standpoint, you're dealing with different people every year, and sometimes it's a first-time experience at a at the, that level, and you see the excitement in people's faces, and you know, so that's what keeps you going. And everybody in the industry is in the same boat. They're looking for that next great horse that you know, will make them, bring them fame and fortune.
Well, and even if they've got fame and fortune, I think the love of the game compels us to want to try one more thing, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, horses are addicting. There's no question. Being around horses is an addicting proposition. And, you know, when you do get a horse of that level, you know, you just have so much appreciation of how hard it is to get one and how hard it is to keep one healthy and to be able to compete at that level.
Well, I'll tell you, we're gonna wrap up the interview on a bit of a light note. We're introducing a new segment to our show. It's called Drive On. Basically, it's a series of rapid-fire questions, John. Nothing of a real serious nature. I'll ask them to you, and I'll ask you, rather, if you want to answer it, go right ahead. If you don't or can't, just say Drive On.
Okay.
All right. Number one, best driver ever.
Too many to list. I mean, there's a group of 15 guys that it's... you know, it's very subjective. They could all have their favorites, and I don't think you could separate the top 15 of all time.
Smartest new driver on the scene today?
Tim Tietrich.
Brennan, Sears, Miller, or Tietrich? Which one earns the most purse money this year?
Tietrich.
Favorite hockey team?
New Jersey Devils.
Giants or Jets?
Giants.
Knicks or Nets?
Nets.
Mets or Yankees?
Yankees.
Ha! Favorite food?
Artichoke chicken that my wife makes.
Beautiful.
Or our... Christmas turkey dinner.
Best restaurant in Jersey?
Il Villaggio.
Okay. When not racing, what does John Campbell like to do?
Play golf, follow sports.
Most famous person you ever met?
Michael Jordan.
Ooh. Funniest guy in harness racing?
Bill O'Donnell.
Speaking of funny guys, finally, Rick Zieron versus Randy Waples in a Texas cage match. Who wins?
Randy.
I thought it would have been Rick. He'd probably fight dirty.
I think Randy will take him.
John Campbell, this has truly been a pleasure, and boy, oh boy, congratulations once again on your induction into the Canadian Sports Hall of Fame. Continue to be who you are, a great ambassador for our sport, and thank you so much for being on Trot Radio.
Okay, thanks a lot for having me, Norm. I really enjoyed it.
And that is why my job rocks. That's it for this edition of Trot Radio. Trot Radio is a presentation of Standardbred Canada and produced by Board Communications. Technical producer Chris Knowles. The opinions expressed on the preceding program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect those of Standardbred Canada or its affiliated tracks. Till next time, ciao.